you want anything? One second, I'm just wondering. Do you want something? Okay. Okay. Great. Can I get one crispy chicken? Two crispy chicken for you, because I'm not... You want two for yourself. Okay, no judgment. That's fine. And ice cream. Do you guys even serve... You know what? Do you mind if we just do this after? Welcome, it's an all-new Smart List.
Smart.
We were just talking about Shawshank, and I was going to say to Will, Jay, before he came on, that my philosophy in life is kind of...
Oh, this is good. Hang on.
No, this is good. This is good. You'll like
that. Yeah, everybody pull over and get out the pen. By the way, this is Shawshank Redemption, I think.
Shawshank Redemption.
For Tracy, the film.
So the end of the movie. So the whole movie, Morgan Freeman is talking about, like, you know, he goes in front of the, what is it called, the panel or whatever, the people who...
Parole board.
Kind of, the board. Yeah. The
parole board, yeah.
Yeah, and he's the parole board, and he's like, he tells them what they think they want to hear. He's like, no, I've been, you know, reformed. I'm good. I've learned my lesson. And they always deny his parole. And then at the end of the movie, he finally just is like, you know what? Fuck it. This is who I am. You people are crazy. I didn't learn anything, blah, blah. And then that's when he gets released.
That's it.
That's my philosophy for life.
And that's what full release comes from, honesty. Well... Two ways. Sorry.
So everybody go ahead and put your car back in drive and toss that paper either out the window. If you still have an ashtray in the car, use that. Because we really didn't get an end to it. But
it's nice that Sean's philosophy on life is
pretty. Like, you know, don't try to be something you're not. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I agree with you. Authenticity is a thematic that I'm on a project that I'm working on right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the theme of the thing.
Oh, very good.
You know, it's a great evergreen.
Authenticity.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, hi.
Why did the man fall down the well?
Oh, boy.
Because
he didn't see that well?
That's exactly right.
Wait, Willie, you got, when we had Jordan Peele on his film, Nope.
Yeah.
I always just thought it was just a fun way to say, yeah, no, I'm not comfortable with flying saucers, says the main character,
and this
freaks me out. But it's actually an acronym for?
It's an acronym. He said it's an
you
acronym.
Guessed it. Yeah.
And I just went, and I thought about it for 2 seconds, and I went, not of planet Earth.
Planet Earth.
Remember the look on his face? He was a little mad, I think.
Well, what you were seeing was the same look that I had, which is a total shock at your level of intelligence.
That was my
stunning surprise.
That's what hurt me the most was the stunned look on everybody's face when I do something.
Well, we're going to have a stunned look at your guest when he comes
on. Well, he's going to have a stunned look at Sean.
Sorry, Sean, did you have a lunch?
He's going to have a stunned look when he heard your joke, for sure, because he tells jokes for a living.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Here we go.
And he doesn't just tell jokes. This son of a gun, and that's kind of the language that he would use, too, son of a gun.
Dax Shepard's coming back.
Dax does love son of a gun.
He does.
This guy uses, I don't know, there's something about everything that he does, his delivery, his turn of phrase, the things he talks about, the way he does it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people call him the nicest guy in stand-up. I think of him as just the funniest dude I've seen in such a long time. And I remember the first time I heard about him was through our old friend, Greg Garcia. And Greg was like, Greg reached out to me. He's like, you have to have this guy on, blah, blah, blah. And I made some glib remark. He's like, you're going to regret it. I go, I think he's hilarious. Relax, Greg. And then, JB, you and I had the pleasure of meeting him really briefly.
You repeat the glib remark right in front of him.
We met him really briefly up at last year up at Pebble Beach. And he's as nice as he is funny, and it's all legit.
I love this guy.
He's so
I
funny.
Love Ray Romano.
I love the Tennessee kid. I love his new special, Hello World, on Amazon. He's about to go on tour in a new one. Guys, it's none other than the hilarious Nate Bargatze.
Hello.
Even better. Hey. I was ready for Ray.
I love Nate Bargatze.
Hey, I'll get Ray.
Oh, how great.
Nate, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Sean. Hey, just a little fun note, never seen Shawshank, so.
That's
Well, you're young. You're too young for it. You know, it's before your time.
Wait. How old?
I'm 44. I should have.
It's pretty young.
You know what, Nate? I didn't see Shawshank until I was 45.
Oh, I'll do it next year.
Anyway, Nate Bargatze.
Nate.
Dude.
Nate, this is really nice.
Great to see you again, because we did meet. Yeah. We did meet up at Pebble.
Yep.
Do you live in a nice house, or are you in a nice hotel room? Where are you?
In a hotel room. I'm in Syracuse.
Okay.
Working?
I got a show in Syracuse. This is... Can't make it here. Can't make it anywhere, you know?
That's what they say.
They don't.
That's what they say.
I like, Nate, I like that Sean said, you said I'm in Syracuse and Sean goes, working? Nah.
He's just hanging out with the orange man.
This is the vacations I can afford in Syracuse. You go, it's nice. We took a bus up. But it's, you know.
We spent on the hotel room.
Yeah, everything went to this.
Now, what kind of...
my family of 30 is right off camera. They're just right there. I said, if y'all talk during this, I will kill you all.
When you are traveling around and you're doing these shows, what size is your group footprint? What's your posse size?
We have probably like 10 guys. Because I bring 4 openers. Actually, tonight...
Oh, wow.
We got a surprise opener. He won't be here till later. Jimmy Fallon. Fallon is coming to the show.
Oh, that's great.
He's going to jump on the bus.
Where do I know him? Tell me what we would know him from.
That movie.
Taxi.
Pitch Fever.
Taxi.
Fever Pitch.
Pitch Fever.
Taxi.
Fever.
With Queen Latifah.
Yes, I remember Taxi.
Yeah.
Jimmy right now, by the way, he's hearing this. He's sharpening his knife hearing us say this.
Well, Nate, I have to say this. We developed the show together years ago.
What?
And you were very successful then. But to see you over the years, just kind of like, and then SNL, and then like, it's so exciting to finally be like, yes, this guy has been brilliant, has always been brilliant, and now more and more people get
and
to
you
see
sell,
it.
Nate, you sell out arenas like 20,000 at a clip, which is just unbelievable. And on top of this, and I'm going to say this, and I've said it a bunch since it aired, when you were on SNL, your sketch, your George Washington sketch.
That was
to me, just in my opinion, the funniest SNL sketch I've seen in 15 years.
I totally agree with that.
I'm
going to
look that up.
I totally agree with that.
Remarkable. Now, your TV just went on, which tells me that you're bored.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fair enough. The family's bored.
Yeah.
The 30 men are getting itchy.
There's no one in here.
It's just you and Jim Benheim, right? Yeah. Is that his name?
Jimmy, turn it off, or does it matter?
No, give me something to watch.
But you have, to echo what Sean's saying, you have just like kind of finally, thankfully, the rest of America is just like, understand what an awesome, awesome, hilarious dude you are. So how do you start? You're the Tennessee kid. You're from Old Hickory, Tennessee. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Old Hickory.
Yeah, Old Hickory.
Is it next to New Hickory?
No, New's a little bit farther.
Was it ever New Hickory?
No,
he's got this great joke in his new special on Amazon Prime where he says, I'm from Old Hickory. It's where Andrew Jackson's from. And people are like, he wasn't a good guy. And Nate goes, well, we didn't know him that well, but we didn't know him at all.
joke. But Nate, talk to me about when you were a kid and stuff. Like, were you always into comedy? Did you watch SNL? Like, what were your inspirations?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was getting to. How did you start?
I just got there fast.
My dad's a magician.
What?
And does comedy.
Mine too. Mine can disappear on the drop of a hat.
Sean Hayes, you are talk show quick. Get out of here. Sorry, Nate.
Thanks, you guys.
Keep going.
No, that, I mean, I grew up around that. I mean, so that was like, you know, I was funny, but then also growing up around, you know, my dad being a magician.
You learned
so
patter.
Just like, yeah, it just kind of leads you to it, I guess.
Wait. So, Nate, so you grew up, your dad's a magician. He obviously loved you. Sorry, Sean. And he, I mean, to the extent that he wanted to, stick around.
I'm friends with Sean's dad.
Yeah. Oh, so you know where he is.
Yeah, he's a pretty good dude. I don't know the whole backstory, but I know. I just know from what our hanging out.
He's got
is.
No tread left on his tires, but he's a good guy.
He texts you a pin to his location.
So what was that like growing up with your dad being a magician? That's pretty rad.
An illusionist.
Yeah, it was the best. It is, you know, I don't know if I even understood it. Like, I think of it like my daughter and I'm sure your kids, like, it doesn't seem not normal. Like, it just felt like, it's like, that's all I ever knew. And it wasn't until you got older that you're like, yeah, dude, nobody's dad's a magician.
Start saying you don't know when you're asked what your dad does.
Right.
Yeah.
So he would make a living
doing
this?
I have people do magic, like, magicians would show me magic tricks. I've just seen them all, too, and I just... I'm just not a good, I'm not a good person to perform for because I'm just like, all right, you go. You know, it's like, is this your card? You're like, it's always my card. It's always been my card.
Every time I see magic, I freaking love it. And I'll bet everybody listening loves it. Well, I mean, how can you not love when you see a magic trick? I mean, a good one, if it's convincing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I never think about it. And I always make fun of it when I hear about it. It's like you hear about mimes. But you know what? You can't take your eyes off a mime or a magician. It's it gets a bad rap.
You can't take your eyes off a mime.
Yeah, that's the quote of the day.
Wait, so Nate, so your dad, Sean was going to ask this. So your dad made a living as a magician.
Well, he did. He was a teacher too. Like, so he had a day job and then he would do that. And then we were always in Nashville. And so he's just always done it. And I mean, he's very successful. He's very known in the magic world. He really? Comes with me and opens for me a lot on the road.
No
and
way.
He will do these shows. And, you know, it's every little boy's dream to travel to your dad when you're 44 years old. So you go. We got a little CPAP machine hooked up in a tour bus. It's a good
time.
You
got some ramps on the side of that stage?
Yeah. I mean, we had our bus parked out one time. And I had it was my dad, my mom, and my aunt. And I was like, people probably go by this tour bus and they're like, it's pretty rocking in there. Uh-huh. And I mean, it's lights off, quiet, just the roar of machines keeping everybody alive.
And the smell of liniment.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so did you ever perform in the magic shows with your dad?
I did some, yeah. I would help him with magic.
You ever get cut in half?
No, we didn't ever do that. He never did that, go that far. It just sleight of hand. A lot of sleight of hand, and he does comedy.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
So then when you, what age were you when you were like, actually kind of to what Jason, you kind of alluded to, but did you start just like being a wise ass on the side of your dad's stage while he was doing magic? Like, is that how stand-up started for you?
I think it was just being funny. We would, like, I remember seeing stand-up. It was trying to make people laugh. I don't think I ever really made fun of anybody.
Right.
But it was like I would make fun of myself a lot, which is what I do now in my comedy.
Yeah,
so it'd be like you'd be doing stuff like that, making fun of. One time I've talked about this in a special on one of them, but it was like he brought the Easter Bunny home when I was like six. He was at a mall doing a show, and the Easter Bunny needed a ride home. And my dad goes, "I'll give you a ride home if you swing by my house." And so I remember the Easter Bunny, we had like my parents had this old red Mazda stick shift. You know, and the Easter Bunny's head was bent to the side because his head couldn't fit in the car.
Sure.
So he was sitting like this. Uh-huh. And then he got out, and I met the Easter Bunny, and then my dad drove the Easter Bunny home.
So that started the Easter Bunny.
That was the trajectory. I go, if I can be that guy, then maybe I can make it as.
Now, what was your mom's attitude on her husband's career?
My parents have been together since seventh grade, and my mom's very funny, but she worked at a bank. I mean, she's just been. I mean, it's just stuff. There's like growing up. It's buying, you know, she has to go, my dad will be like, go to the store, I need you to buy 12 lemons. And he has to buy for like his magic or a bunch of newspapers from that day. It's like a bunch of random, and it's just normal conversation. You're just like, it's a Tuesday. You're just trying to grab some bread, milk, and 30 oranges. And then you get on out of there.
And handkerchiefs in six colors.
He's got a lot of shows this week. It's just stuff like that. You know?
Well, wait. So Nate. So I want to kind of get again. This is we're the worst interviewers on the planet. We were just voted worst ever interviewers.
We nailed it
of all time.
Yeah.
But I want to go back because you play these huge arenas and it's amazing. And I don't know if I've ever seen a comic so comfortable. You make it so intimate, even though you're playing a huge. There's something about it that makes it so personal, and you're so organic.
Yeah, you draw us in as opposed to ask.
And we're talking about authenticity. You're very authentic, but that feels like that when you started, you must have started in clubs, like in smaller venues, right? Like most comics, I imagine.
Oh yeah, I moved to Chicago first for a couple years, and then I moved to New York, and I was in New York for like 8.5 years. And so I did all the clubs and all the, like, going up every single night. I performed for one guy once.
Oh, my God. No way.
Like, he wouldn't leave. We tried to get him to leave, and he's like, nah, it's all right. And we're like, well, we don't think it's all right. So I'm like, it really wasn't about him. You're like, what's it? Like, I don't want to stand up in front of a guy. regularly up in front of four people, five, six. Like, I mean, six people was like, got a pretty good show going on. You know, you were excited about six people.
No way.
Yeah. So you just get used to just being in these kind of like, you know, it takes a long time before you're in front of like an actual paying crowd that's good.
But what does that do for you? What does that do for you, like rhythm wise and et cetera, when you're just doing six people? Like,
well, I had to learn to get people into my rhythm very quickly. So since I'm talk slower and I'm from the South and all this, I had to figure out, because I would follow like high energy acts, and then I'd come up and I'm like, well, I got to come up with a joke, or I got to say something. I just need you to hear my voice for a second so you can go like, all right, readjust and be like, now we're in this rhythm, and then get into the first kind of, you know, come up with a good like opening little thing or whatever and just and get rolling.
You know what always blows my mind about stand-ups though? Like how you can just walk around the stage for 2 hours and always have something to talk about. And like, how do you, is it like a monologue you memorize? Or like, how can you just go up and speak?
God, he's going to love show business, do you think?
2 hours straight.
Yeah, Sean. Where do you get a load of her?
He's going to love show business. He's going to love it.
With 2/3 of the planet is water. there's a couple of poles.
No, you know what I mean? That always blows my mind. Obviously, you had material that you work on, but do you ever like,
there's your answer,
go up and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what subject to talk about next. Like the flow of
well, I don't go up. I go up prepared. I mean, I can't do the other. I can't really do like crowd work or go up and stuff. It's very,
he's not
very
freestyling, bro.
No,
he's
I
been
know,
working
but
on it for months.
Nate, do you ever switch the order based on the audience?
Oh yeah, this new hour, I've switched it a ton, but it's worked because now I'm opening on a joke that I've closed on. So it's like, it's great to be opening on a joke that I've actually had to have the energy and the rhythm of a closer, and then you just move it up, and now it's the front.
And you're doing those decisions on the fly.
Yeah, you just fill it out. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like a song. Like, I'm in love with stand-up right now. Like, I love it so much, and it's, the way I've looked at writing kind of is like, it's a movie. So I'm the main character of this movie, and I'm telling a story. There's a reason for be saying all this stuff, and everything leads into the other thing.
Yeah.
So you want to make it where people don't realize you're into another joke. But in my head, I could be on like joke 5.
Right.
But I'm trying to make it where like, and then that's how you remember it. Cause the only way, you know, if you're talking about like riding a car and then you're like, my wife bought a car. Well, now that's the only thing I could go into.
Right. Right.
And we will be right back.
And now back to the show.
Who was your main inspiration as far as developing that style of telling stories as opposed to jokes? Was it like a George Carlin? Or because I seem to remember he was kind of like that too, right?
Yeah, well, a big Cosby was one.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
But like that, if you go like watch his old stuff, it's very storytelling, all that kind of stuff. I'm a big Seinfeld fan. Seinfeld was. He was, I kind of think, because I always looked at it, like I tell stories, but in a joke form. Like, so it's, I mean, I try to never be too far from the laugh, because the farther you are from a laugh, the bigger the laugh has to be. And I don't want to put that much pressure on a laugh. So if I can just kind of keep it going and let it build, it's like, you know, it doesn't, you're just not putting the weight of the world on this. You're like, because if you go silent too long, I mean, there's a point where you're like, well, this joke better be unreal.
Sean tried stand up, and we won't get to his opening joke, but he started so far from the laugh, and then he never got even to the same area code as the laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he never had actual direct sight on the laugh. They never got a clean look at it.
He went
turned
right
into a lecture,
and there's no way. You're like, no, he's supposed to go. Well, he'll never. Now.
Even with a series of mirrors, he couldn't see the laugh. It
that's
was
a
so
shot at
obscured.
Me.
Yeah.
That's how I drive around town. I only take right-hand turns. But, Nate, biggest bombing story? Like, did you just like, oh, my God, this is the worst? Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch. I mean, you'd blame it on... I had one time I thought it was the shirt I wore, and so I threw that shirt away. Yeah, I had a button-down shirt, and I tucked it in. I've never done that since.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I was like, it wasn't me. I was just
couldn't have been the material. This fucking shirt is killing
me. This guy's shirt. What is this guy's deal? I've done a cruise ship.
Say no
more. Yeah, I won a... I won a contest, and your prize was to set your career back 5 years and do cruises. So I go out, and I'm doing it. And you got to do, like, you got to do a bunch of shows. So you do 30 clean, 30 dirty. I never had dirty, so it's like I couldn't even. And then you would do one another show. So you needed, honest, because sometimes these people would come back and watch multiple shows. So you needed to have, you know, 2 hours of material or do crowd or be able to mess with the crowd or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember we go up and you would do one show at the beginning of it. You do like 5 minutes each. And it's kind of just like it's in the big theater. And you're kind of just letting the crowd know we're comedians. We got a show back here, blah, blah. So the other guy just was great and knew how to, like, he shined a flashlight on the crowd, like just knew how to, like, really play with the crowd.
Always works.
And he was like, come to my shows, every show is different. And he, like, made a big announcement how they're all different. And then I went up and I said, come to one, it may be the other one, but the other one will be the same. I was like, do not come to all my shows. Most will be the same. I don't have enough material to have them all be different. So
right.
You can go to his shows. They will be different. Mine will be. And then I went and did a show. And I started it. And, like, they didn't laugh. And I was like, oh, these people have been to every show. And I'm not a crowd work guy, you know. And I'm like, so what do you do, man? And, some guy's like, he's an oil rigger in the ocean. It's actually a pretty crazy job. And I was like, that's cool. And I just moved on. It's like an insane. People are saying crazy stuff. They're like, I'm a bank robber. I'm like, that's neat, man. What about you, ma'am? Back there, I had nothing.
No riffing.
And then I had to ride in an elevator with these people. I'm in the elevator in the ocean. You think it sounds like I made it. And I'm just sitting there, and I had a hat on, and I just hear some guy just trashing me, and I'm my shoulder's touching him, and I just have to sit there.
Oh my
God!
But they do separate them between clean and dirty on a cruise ship. That's exclusive to a cruise ship.
You would have a show that's like the kids can come to this show, your family can come to this show, and then you'd have like a night at 11 p.m. is like an adult only show.
Yeah,
you still can't be that dirty, but it's the idea of it is a little more.
You could have just dropped in a couple F-bombs and just randomly.
I got a curse as I talk about parking. I'm like, you guys ever parallel park? And they're like, this guy's filthy. I didn't even have any. I had no dirty jokes. Like, I don't talk about sex or, like, political. Or, like, there's nothing, like, really, like, that's kind of like this.
What about political sex? Will you ever touch political sex? Is that something that you'd be willing
that
to?
That I will.
Yeah.
If the right joke comes up.
Sure.
It is funny. It is remarkable how clean your stand-up is. And a lot of people, it's such a weird thing to have to say to point it out, but I guess it is worthy of pointing out. And it is, to me, such a testament to how profoundly funny you are. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I hope it is a badge of honor for you. It should be, because it really, you find ways to talk about stuff and you don't need to swear. I swear like a...
Yeah, Cosby never cursed. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Famously.
Well, let's not try to, look at, so let's not.
Yeah.
But.
No, let's go down the avenue of Cosby and clean, you know?
Yeah.
This guy.
So at home, what's it like at home? So like, do you run jokes by your wife? Does she okay them? Is she sick of hearing them? Like, what is that dynamic at home?
I'll tell her, she knows about every joke that comes up. Because that's something I had to learn to when you make fun of your wife at the beginning is you have to show love. Like, you have to show, because I remember at the beginning the reaction would be like, well, why are you married? And so then you're like, well, that's not what I want. You don't need to have that reaction. So you have to then make fun of yourself, but with her, and you got to do it in a way that where like they can tell that you do love your wife love your family and you know. And so it's just kind of like just making fun of each other. But, I'll run by stuff.
But that comes across, and you do that bit about the guy coming to replace the water heater in your other special, and you go, finally, the guy realizes you don't know what you're talking about. He thinks, maybe this is a modern relationship. And he says, the guy said, is your husband here? And then you go, yeah, I think she's here somewhere. It's so good. And it is, like you said, you're self-deprecating. You're the butt of the joke, which I think is always such a winning combo. You're not making fun of somebody. You're not having a laugh at somebody else's expense. You're not putting somebody else down to make yourself funny, which is great.
Yeah,
Yeah. I just never liked it. Like, I felt bad. I mean, I would, like, make fun of my buddies and comics and stuff.
Yeah,
but in the audience, I just always felt, you know, it's like, this person's just trying to sit there. They don't need to
be,
like, big. What's your shirt? Your shirt's stupid. And then I got my shirt on tucked in. And I go, right? Don't we all got stupid shirts?
Yeah. Do you still live in Tennessee?
Yeah. I moved back. So I was gone, like, 13 years. And then we've been back for about... 9.
Yeah. Ugh, I hear it's beautiful down there.
Yeah, it's so good, right?
Yeah. I'm born and raised there. It's great. We have as much of a normal life as it can be. We're live in a cul-de-sac, the house at the top. So we have the leaders. Uh-huh. And sure. We set the tone for it. I have a joke. I can say it in my new act, Russ. And we do... All in our cul-de-sac, we do all the right things. Like, if someone pulls down there, we're like, what are you doing down our street? Any car we don't know, we just run out and be like, you better get out of our cul-de-sac. I mean, just furious if they come down there.
Brothers and sisters growing up?
I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
So you're the oldest of the three.
I am.
And are they finding you funny all the time or like, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. My brother's like 3 years younger than me. My sister's about 10. I've talked about her in a special, and she works for me now too. Oh. So that's fun. I mean, you get yelled at by her.
I mean, you got your whole family. You got your sisters working for you, and then you're on tour with your mom and dad and your aunt. And
That's cool though. That's cool.
It's pretty rad.
I don't think you've said this, but do you have kids?
Yeah, I have an 11-year-old
Why are you
daughter.
So nervous to ask him that, Jason? By the way, he's married. He said he's not available.
What are the kids' ages?
Yeah. I did say before, don't ask about if I have kids.
Yeah.
Damn it. Oh, all right. I guess we're okay. Now I have one, 11-year-old daughter.
Oh, okay. That's great.
11-year-old daughter. And what does it seem like she's going to want to do with her life? Does she want to...
She loves horses right now. I don't know why.
That sounds expensive. That's expensive.
It is. I don't even know where. No one. We don't come from horse stuff. You know.
You're not horse people.
No, there's never horse people. But she loves horses. So right now she's kind of doing that stuff. But she's very creative, very funny, and she, you know, will get me and my wife laughing a lot. You know, and like I think I got to teach her where the joke. You got to be like, all right, well, you got to be serious.
Yeah, so. Isn't that funny? It's like there's the age when they learn sarcasm, they learn humor, but they don't yet know when to stop the joke. They don't know when to do the joke. But you don't want to shame them because you don't want to kill their spirit or their sense of humor. So you just got to kind of grin and bear with so many things in their life. It's so incredible watching kids learn things that we forgot that we learned. You know, like it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know nothing until you learn it.
She can make fun of her friends. Recent and like I think, but then they all got like it was like they did not like it, and I was like, and it was funny. I forget what it was, but it was like it was something funny. But you're like, all right, you got to understand. You're like, you got to. Some people will be able to handle it, like
right.
You know, she just is all about the joke because it's obviously just our, you know, her grandfather's a magician, I'm a comedian, like so it's a lot of joking.
I think that making fun of your friends is not a good path to go down. It's not...
unless it's Sean.
Successful.
Unless it's Sean. I mean, it's such a big button to hit.
Right. No, I thought we were talking about friends. Yeah, Sean is
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Feel warm inside.
Where's that? What's after Syracuse? Where do you go next?
Albany. So
Albany.
We started
Of course. And what? And just fuck Schenectady? Like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, this is the route. I know we started last night. We were in Philly at the it was where the Sixers play.
No
so it was
way.
This big thing. And then it goes Syracuse, and then it'll go Albany. And then these are the two that Fallon wanted to come to, was Syracuse and Albany.
Yeah, of course. That's a big, those
are
big venues.
I think he's from up here. Yeah.
He's from upstate New York. What arena or place are you playing tonight in Syracuse?
The arena.
The Carrier Dome, probably, right? Is that what it is?
No.
Is that used to be? No?
Yeah, no, I've been to a game there. That's like a huge.
Okay.
I've been to a basketball game there.
You could fill
it. Even the basketball court's set up, people buy tickets that are like, I don't think they can see the court.
Right.
They're sitting like behind the court.
Would there be a crowd that's just too big for a comedy show? Where it's just like it needs to be a little bit more intimate. Like 20,000 people is like right at the max, maybe, or no?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about how you feel. We have, like, you know, the arenas, we have these big screens. I've put more speakers up so everybody mm-hmm. can hear it everywhere. And you really do try to make it intimate. I mean, you can tell everybody gets real quiet. I mean, that's the cool, it's one of the coolest things is when you're telling a joke and you're, this many people are quiet.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, and this kind of, and they're just, I mean, I could yell with no microphone and the top person could hear me. Is mm-hmm. It gets that quiet.
That's so cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd imagine if you did a stadium, you know, I could see it getting a little, you know, and we're in the middle, too, of an arena. So yeah. I'm a lot closer to everybody.
Do 100,000. Do a hondo. Come on, yeah, do a hondo. Do the big house in Michigan.
Have you ever had a moment where you kind of scare yourself a little bit by thinking about all the eyes that are looking at you and that they're not talking and that it is silent and that you might not be doing well and you can't leave for another 45 minutes?
Are you scared of the eyes?
I mean, if you ever had a panic attack on a stage and know that you can't leave for another hour?
I have.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it so long now that you're,
keep your knees bent. It's happened to me. I mean,
I mean, I've done it now. It's like, yeah, I mean, you think about it. I had an SNL, like, a little bit when I did the monologue. I was more nervous with the monologue because it's like stand up and you're like, I'm supposed to be good and at this. And then you got to kind of deliver the jokes into the camera, but there's the crowd. And so, like, it was very weird to deliver jokes to kind of a spot where no one's at.
Right, and you're right on the heels of standing back behind that flat, behind the band, right, that little narrow little plank, and the whole crowd is silent, and they're counting down to that live moment to America. Mm-hmm. Like, it becomes really tangible. Like, you're not just live in front of, you know, a crowd. It's beaming across, you know, the planet.
Oh, yeah.
It's real tangible there.
Yeah, you're like, I could say anything right now, and they're going to hear it right now because it's live, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when I used to remember, like, 20 jokes when I was a kid. I used to love them. And now I can only remember, like, one or two, but...
Go ahead and tell one from
back then. No, they're not that great.
Go tell one, Jay.
Do you have any jokes?
You want to hear a guy tell a joke inside out? Go ahead.
I do get a little tripped up. Do you have a joke from when you were a kid that you'll never forget? You may not use it in your act, but it's just like a classic that was one of your favorites.
Yeah, I didn't use it in my act.
You say you do?
I didn't hang on to your, like... I kept it. I read a joke book when I was five, and I'm closing on it. I remember the joke. It was, I said there was a, it was a joke book or something, and there was a guy goes, waiter, there's a spider, or there's a fly in my soup. And then the waiter goes, well, don't worry, the spider on your bread will get it. And it was a picture of a spider bread. And so my dad always brings it. I remember that joke. And then my dad brought it up because I was explaining why the joke was funny to him and like kind of going through it. Uh-huh. Like, here's why this is funny, you know. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So that one was the first one. But I let it go.
Do you guys have jokes from when you were a kid that you'll never forget? One joke that's appropriate to tell? Is there one like a go-to that you remember?
I had a joke book when I was really little. It was
keep going.
It's not funny. It was funny when I was like 6 years old. It's like, where do dead people go in your house? And it was the living room.
Yeah. I have one, which is like, people always say that ballet is really hard to do. And so I always say, just don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, see, Nate laughed. Nate laughed at that.
That was Sean's opening joke when he did stand up.
This would probably be interesting for folks, including me. How do you do the economics of being a stand up? I'm assuming you have to bear all the costs of the trucks and the infrastructure and all that stuff. And then you get to keep whatever you don't spend on what it costs to put the show up, right? And you're making your money based on ticket sales and merchandise, perhaps, full stop.
Yeah, yeah. Merch is not the biggest thing in stand-up.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've done it at shows, and it's just, it's not like a concert, or people don't.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, like, stand-up's still kind of, it's kind of a newer thing. Like Cosby's like one of the first. He's still alive, and like you know, like he knew Mate, Lenny Bruce, and then
don't you gotta? If I could give you one piece of advice,
if we could just lose the Cosby references,
if we could
just get the multiple.
Well, if we could get it down to single digits, it would be great.
Yeah, all
right. Or you know what? I'm gonna send you a couple articles.
Harvey Weinstein and I once set up an LLC, but you've got this huge
apparatus.
Apparatus, right? Like the
But you know, you could do it without it.
You get like a deal. So you have promoters, and I think it's like the promoter's the one that's putting the money for like the renting of the venue.
Yeah. Right.
And then I'm paying, then it comes out of mine, the show budget of the speakers and the all that stuff. Yeah. And so you can have it go as low or as big as you want it to go.
Who's your manager? Who are your peeps?
Brillstein.
They're the...
Brillstein and UTA.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. All right, back to the show.
By the way, backing way up to the beginning of this interview, what is Bargatze? What is the nationality of Bargatze?
It's Italian.
Oh, it is?
First of all, don't spit it out like that.
Yeah.
No, like
Bargatze. What the fuck is Hayes?
The fuck is
Sean, come on with me a second.
Sorry, Nate. Jesus,
no,
what the fuck is Bargatze?
I've just never heard of it.
This has really been a bee in my bonnet for a minute.
How do you even spell that?
I know, I can't even begin to spell it. I knew that, but I forgot that I knew that. Italian,
yeah,
wow.
I think we say it wrong as a family, too. I think it's supposed to be Bargatze, and we say Bargatze. Like, it's just we've southerned it up.
Oh, I say Bargatze.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would.
People say
when I went to when I lived in New York, they would always be like Bargatze because it's like Italian, and I was like, you know,
Bargatze.
I was like, I don't like tomatoes. Yeah.
Do you have family in Italy?
I don't. You know,
you don't know.
Not.
Yeah,
right. I think exactly. We've all agreed to kind of go. We had a family reunion once, and we had family come over from Italy, and we got Kentucky Fried Chicken for them. I think it was like from that moment was just kind of like, all right, y'all have a good life. We did it. We're going to do our thing. Y'all do y'all's thing. And we just kind of gone our separate ways.
Nate, what do you like to do? Do you in your free time? And you've got a lot of time, like on a bus, or you're touring, or on the plane, or whatever. What do you watch? What are the things? Are you a sports guy? Do you like? Do you watch other stand-ups?
Candy Crush? How are you occupying your minutes?
I'm a big sports guy, so I watch a lot of golf, like any sports, golf, UFC. Watch a lot of UFC.
Oh, you do?
I'm a big fan of UFC.
I wanted to peg you for a big.
It's just the most the honesty of it with like Dana White just in the fighters, they can say whatever they want.
Right.
And so there's no, you know, like when Tom Brady, is he going to retire or not retire? It's like it's all kind of a game and a show.
Yeah.
And UFC kind of really is like, we just got a dude that just says, I want to fight this guy.
Right.
And then it just gets to it. And you're, I don't know, I kind of like, I love
it. But there's no romance to that too, though, right? Like
the
kind of.
Build up to it. I mean, then they get in the, you know, then they don't like each other. And then you're, you know, and then you go in there and watch them fight. It's not just watching a street fight. You're watching two professionals that have to like fill each other out.
Yeah.
So you watch UFC, you watch golf. You like to play golf. You play golf when you're on the road?
Some. It gets hard, but it's because the shows and stuff. But, yeah, I'll play some on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, I don't know. It's like you're just running around, got a lot of stuff. A lot of hanging out. Like, the road is the most fun because it's just, like, a bunch of dudes. And, you know, this morning we went in we're in Syracuse, and this place has a hot and cold plunge thing.
Sure.
And
we'll love
so that. I've never done it. And then so, but they let us come in. So, like, we woke up and did that.
Wait, who's Boo Weekly? I saw something.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
So this is another, I told it on SNL, I told it in my act too. But it Boo Weekly, because I have a joke about fighting an orangutan at a county fair.
Okay.
And where I read the story was there's a golfer named Boo Weekly. And when he read, he said when he was 15, he got in, he goes to this county fair. He's from like Georgia, like southern Georgia. It's like the 80s, you know, and there you could pay $5 to fight an orangutan. Orangutan would be in a boxing ring with boxing gloves.
Oh my
and so
God.
Dudes would pay $5 to fight him. And
that's hysterical.
Yeah, and then guys would get in there, and this ring tech would just knock people out. Because what I say, this is how I tell the whole story in my act, but I say because we didn't have the internet to look up how strong's an orangutan. You have, it was all word of mouth back then. So, you know, you had to meet a guy that just fought an orangutan. And he's like, eh, he's stronger than you think. You know, you're like, well, but the arms are so skinny. Yeah, like, I know. That's what reach. I thought as well.
And the that's reach, the, yeah.
It's the reach. It's the jabs.
It's the wow. feet. Look jabs. At his feet. His feet's okay. bigger than you. Yeah, that strength comes from somewhere.
And they'll rip your face off, too, if they want.
Well,
right?
That's what Boo Weekly said. He goes, that's not written everywhere back in 1982 when you're fighting a ranking. The guy that does this doesn't go, all. You sign a waiver. And,
sure.
Yeah. You don't realize till afterwards. Like, that's why he has gloves on. If this thing, if it gets the gloves off, there's a chance it will rip your head off. So, but, you know, what are you going to do? Ride the scrambler again?
Yeah.
That's really
Oh, I wonder
funny.
If that's still in existence anywhere in the country. I bet I there's think still
they,
a place.
So, PETA got a hold of a lot
yeah.
of this.
Sure. And,
they knocked those things down.
And that one, they were like, you can't do that. We're like, all right. We thought they liked it. I'm glad you just had to tell us. And we got rid of it. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Nate, what are you going to do today before the show?
Tell them you're busy.
It was this, and then, it was just this. I don't have
okay.
any, like,
so
I got to read where I'm messing up some the order a little bit, so I'll do that a little, and then we'll just hang out and be at the venue. If there's, we do try to shoot basketball, like some of these arenas, if they have a basketball goal somewhere, we'll try to, like, mess around, shoot basketball, just kind of, you know, do whatever until...
That's nice.
Showtime.
And
That's
then
nice.
You're going. And then you're going on tour. You got a new special. You're shooting a new special
in Phoenix. Yeah.
You love Phoenix. You love. You've taught. You did another. You did your last special in Phoenix.
I did my last special there, and this one's going to be in the Footprint Center where the Suns play. So it's. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it just kind of works out like touring wise. Like you just hit these towns like every 2 years or so. And so it just kind of like...
And your family goes with you? Or do they stay home? Or
they do some. Yeah. We went to Europe. Like, they came to Europe. They come to the... You know, they're not here in Syracuse or Albany. Mm-hmm. But they... If they're going... I'm doing the Boston Garden. They're going to come to Boston. And, okay.
Yeah. Tell them to join you out in Phoenix and for some of the best pizza in the world as voted by the voters.
By the people.
At Chris Bianco's.
At Chris Bianco's Pizza.
Go get it.
Nate, can you do... I saw you do this one thing a long time ago. You don't have to do it, but if you're like, I got to go. But one of the funniest things I ever saw you do...
Sorry, dude.
You want me to stand up and do my act?
Do you mind? Yeah. I mean, can
you just show us your tits real quick and then get, and then go to show.
Would you mind doing it topless?
Sorry, Sean.
Show us your tits really quick. No, one of the funniest things was... it was a story about your meeting your wife's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, on the boat.
Yeah.
I went. Uh-oh. Yeah, we went. I gotta remember it, but we went to. It happened. We're on the lake, Old Hickory Lake.
Is that true?
Yeah, and we're in. We're like in the water, and then it's my wife's ex-boyfriend was on another boat.
That's right.
And I didn't see him, and she pointed it out. Like, there's no reason to point it out, but she pointed it out. So then. Yeah, like, all I can think of now, like, I'm thinking about him. Like, and then I look at her, and she's looking at him, and I feel like she's looking at him to see what her life would be like if she didn't marry me.
Yeah.
And I was looking at him to see what my life would be like if I didn't marry her.
Uh-huh.
So we're both putting a lot of pressure on this guy.
Yeah.
And then my buddy told me, he's like, you should go fight him. And I was like, what? He's on a boat. Like, I gotta swim over to that fight.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried climbing a boat from water? It's not graceful. It's not easy.
No.
You don't come in with power. I would need his help to start the fight.
Right.
I think that was it. Yeah.
It's so funny. But we can all relate to meeting exes, you know, our current exes. I don't know if
it's never good.
Did, but
I don't. I don't really have exes. But
all right. Well,
yeah,
what are you talking about,
Nate?
Nate?
Hang on a second. Nate.
I didn't go. I know, but that's what made it frustrating. I don't. I had no one to go show my wife. Well, here's mine. It was,
yeah.
I was just gonna meet.
What do you mean? Because is she your high school sweetheart or something?
No, we started dating like 20, 21. We met at Applebee's. We both waited tables at Apple. I was a host at the time, but
That's great. I love that.
You don't need to scream. Yeah,
I mean, well, stuff is going. You know,
sounds like it's all good in the neighborhood, or what are we?
We're all in the neighborhood.
We're all in the neighborhood, or something.
In the neighborhood, but we're big fans. We took our daughter.
What was your favorite thing on the Applebee's menu?
Here we go.
They had the chicken broccoli Alfredo. I'd get no broccoli. You know.
Yeah,
get that out of there. And then I'd say put it on the side just so the guy thinks I'm going to eat it. Then he would just take a full plate of broccoli back after. I got full on the other stuff.
That's so true. We're worried what they think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch this. Do you think that's impressive, Sean? Applebee's menu backwards.
Go. Cobbler, apple cobbler.
Of those kinds of restaurants.
Chinese chicken salad, pretty good.
Yeah. I'll eat that.
Every place makes a Chinese chicken salad now. That's kind of like the new molten lava cake. Every place has a Chinese chicken.
What makes it a Chinese chicken salad? It's just because of the ginger dressing?
They're the only ones that don't eat it.
And those crispy noodles, the crispy noodles and the
You get the crispy
chin chin. No, listen, Sean, I don't have to tell you.
Chin chin
does the best one. Yeah,
one of the best ones.
One of the best ones.
Sean's telling his chin chin chin. Wait, so of all those kinds of restaurants, I forget what you call them. Are they big box restaurants?
No, chain restaurants.
Chain restaurants.
Have y'all not been to one in a while? Like, you just go.
It's been a minute, but I did like to see in your new special. Nate says everything I learned. I don't know a lot that came from a big a higher education building. Everything I learned, I overheard at a Target or a Lowe's.
The Lowe's, the line at Lowe's.
Everything I overheard. Yeah, at Target or Lowe's.
Yeah, we're big chain. I grew up I had an old joke about I was a big. I don't like mom and pop shops because they can close. Just they're like, we don't feel good today, and they close. Like Walmart, you know, they were a mom and pop shop at some point, and then they got it together and became unreal.
I like those too.
I like mom and pop shops.
Here's what I like. I like Chili's, and I'm not Chili's afraid to say it.
They have the great chocolate lava cake. If you want one. Go to Chili's, and they also have the great.
They used to have the Southwest egg rolls or whatever. They used to have those things. They were great. Me and Dax used to always go to. God, I love a Chili's.
What about Outback? They any good with the Bloomin'
Onion? Yeah. We go to Outback good bit.
Scotty worked at TGIF, and he would.
I used to love
that's
that
good
place.
Too. Yeah. That's fun.
That's an intimidating menu.
Dr. Pepper's doing some pretty amazing things right now. So if you are into Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, they got some real good stuff going on.
And some cherry,
it's
pretty wild. Right?
They got some. Like some soda, like cream soda, strawberry stuff. I mean, it's something, dude. They're showing off over
there. Did we ever get any confirmation on the doctor portion of the pepper? Like, did we ever see documentation to prove that he graduated?
He suggests diet.
What kind of doctor was he?
Yeah, I mean,
Dr. Pep. He was.
I do like Diet Dr. Pepper too. And I'm going to say this: I like their ads. I like their TV ads.
Yeah,
I think they're funny. The college football ads. I think they're real clever. Mm-hmm. Nate, before I let you go, how do you know Greg Garcia? How did that happen? This son of a gun. Speaking of son of a guns.
So I've tried to make a bunch of shows that have never gone. We've had one show that we shot a pilot, and so Greg came in. I did not know him, but he came in. Danielle Sanchez Witzel. She was show running it, and she's friends with Greg. And so Greg came in to help us do it. And I knew Greg Garcia's work, but I didn't know him when he first came in. So when he first came in, he's like, he's going to help us. And I was like, I don't know who this dude is.
Yeah.
I got to listen to this guy. And then we rewrote the whole script off just his ideas because they were so good. And obviously he's unreal.
Yeah.
And so we just become really close and become friends. I was just with him this week. I had dinner with him because I had to go to LA for a second. And we became friends like that. And he comes out on the road too. I'm telling you, y'all should come out on the road. If you want to get away and have a little fun trip, come on out.
Dude, that would actually be really, really fun if you mean it.
It's a fun hang.
If you mean it.
I swear, Fallon's coming tonight.
We have a fun
time. It's you just, we play cards or you play, you know, like we went to a casino last night and
Sean, I mean, first of all, this is your dream. They go to casino and they're going to chain restaurants. I mean, you know, every Cracker Barrel has got skid marks in front from Sean's car.
Cracker Barrel is one we didn't touch on. I've not been there, but I hear that's the one.
Anywhere that can handle bus parking, it's all chain stuff.
Well, Greg Garcia is one of the all-time great guys. Super, super funny guy. One of the funniest pranks. I'm not really like a big pranks guy, but he is so funny at a long joke and a prank. And he's such a great guy. So, yeah, that makes sense that you guys would be pals. Well, listen, I'm going to return the offer and say next time you're out here in California, let's go play golf, man, and hang out and grab some lunch. Such a huge fan of yours, dude. Honestly, you're just the funniest.
So funny. It's so good to see you. So exciting to see you. Just more and more and more people appreciate you.
Really happy for your success. Truly. Yeah, man.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Nate, thank you for doing this.
What a thrill.
Thank you for saying it.
What a thrill. Yeah, all right, awesome. The great Nate Bergazzi. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy. Have fun.
Bye.
The great Nate.
The great Nate. Is he funny?
Yep. Old school, clean, good, hilarious, nonstop fun.
Yeah. God.
He just seems like a real kind fella, you know?
Yeah, I can't see him getting upset.
I'm sure you could figure out a way to piss him off. What would be your strategy if you really wanted to get Nate pissed off?
I'd ask him questions over. I'd ask him the same thing over and over again, like I didn't understand.
No, I think he'd be very patient with that. I don't think that would be his button pusher.
No, but if you just went on and on about something, like you just really, honestly, truly didn't understand, I think it pisses anybody off.
I wonder.
Like, what are you not getting, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but we have a pretty high threshold. Like, we have a pretty decent amount of patience for you in that regard. And
what is the thing that gets you guys to anger quicker than anything else?
Stupidity. People who don't think like I do.
Mm. I have a short fuse for stuff. I don't suffer.
I have a short fuse for people who are incompetent or can't don't have common sense about like easy things. And then in the meantime, I'm the dumbest person on the planet and I probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
I hate when people like punch down, you know,
yes.
when they're like mean to people because they know they can be.
Yeah.
So lazy.
Yeah. It is.
Punch down either, especially if it, you know, we do a lot of joking around and we love to sort of rib each other and stuff. But anytime I see somebody who likes to, and we talked about it with Nate, who likes to get a laugh at somebody else's expense.
Yeah. Or you know what else pisses me off? Confident ignorance.
Mm. That can also be super funny, though.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, in a character, it can be.
Right, you have to do it on purpose. But a person who is much smarter or much more confident than they have a right to be is just grating. Because you have to spend an effort to convince them that you're buying it.
Right.
But if you have no dog in that fight and you're just observing that person, it can be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. You know
what I mean? By the way, I love playing those characters.
Yeah, I do, too.
The character that's just an alpha everywhere, and then the tough guy walks in, and then they're beta. Hi, beta.
right. Exactly. But, Nate, we should go see his show when he's out. He's so funny.
I think we should meet him in Phoenix and go get some of that Bianco pizza.
We should, and then play some golf over there. You're not playing golf anymore.
Not till October. I have to be disciplined. You know. Mm.
I know. I mean, we can go. We can go to Nate's.
There it comes. There it comes.
We can go to his show and like participate, or we can go and just be a bunch of
bystanders.
Bye.
So dumb when we do.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbico.
Smartless.